Brian Lehrer on WNYC, the news from Albany. Assume your conversations are being recorded. At least two state legislators wore wires for prosecutors after getting in trouble themselves, and the conversations they recorded with their fellow legislators resulted in charges against two state lawmakers last month, with more to follow. Remember? Ken Lovett, Albany Bureau Chief for the Daily News, joins me now to talk about the latest case and the debate over what to do about it. Hey, Ken, welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks. Good morning.
So the news this morning is that Brooklyn State Senator John Sampson has turned himself in. I mistakenly said before the break we'd be talking about a former legislator. Obviously, John Sampson is a current legislator, state senator from Brooklyn, and he turned himself in. Remind us who he is. He led the Democrats in the Senate for a while, didn't he?
Yeah, he's more than just a senator. He was the senator for the Senate Democrats when they were in charge of the chamber back in 2009 and 10. He rose to power as a result of the legislative coup that shut down the chamber for a month. Malcolm Smith at the time was Senate President and Senate Majority Leader. Two Democrats, Pedro Espada and Hiram Montserrat, both since departed, both now heading or in prison. They held out. They said, we won't return to the Democrats unless you get rid of Malcolm Smith as leader. So in came John Sampson.
So now Smith and Sampson are under arrest.
And Espada, who had been majority leader during that time.
Indeed. Boy, don't take that job unless you want to live, you know, behind bars, at least for a while. But these charges that you're reporting and that everybody's reporting now are from a wire that another former senator, Shirley Huntley, was wearing. That makes two members of the legislature through the last few months who've been revealed to be wearing a wire on behalf of law enforcement. What's going on here?
It really is stunning. I mean, it's almost like, you know, a crime family investigation. And, you know, the dark humor at the Capitol, lawmakers are saying that they have to pat each other down before they say hello. One lawmaker said to me on Friday he's going to have to learn sign language so he doesn't get caught up on these tapes because nobody knows who's recording what.
Except for the little lapel video cameras that will see all those sign language motions. And a deaf sign language interpreter will be the chief witness in court. But seriously, what is Sampson accused of doing as a result of former Senator Huntley wearing this wire?
Well, we're going to find out at 11 when the U.S. attorney out of Brooklyn actually details the charges. Right now, we know what was caught on the wire was that he helped set up a meeting between Huntley and someone who wanted business with JFK terminals. And apparently, Huntley got a $1,000 bribe out of it, which is amazing when you think of it, just a $1,000. Sampson apparently is charged with, we're told, taking illegal campaign donations when he was running for district attorney in Brooklyn. He'll also be charged with taking an illegal loan from a Queens businessman to repay money that prosecutors said he embezzled from an escrow account he controlled as a lawyer. I think that was like a $450,000 escrow account.
Wow. And so Shirley Huntley was wearing a wire, as was the other member that I was referring
Castro
to before, was Nelson Castro, assemblyman from the Bronx, who helped build the case against Bronx Assemblyman Eric Stevenson. And Castro was indicted in 2009, but allowed to continue to serve until last month. I guess in exchange for wearing the wire is what we've been told. Is there a similar situation with Shirley Huntley?
No, that's the amazing thing, that Huntley even botched the mole job because she not only wore the wire for them, but they felt that she wasn't giving credible testimony about her own crimes. So it turns out she helped them nail Sampson and we don't know who else, but we know there are others. And at the same time, they're not giving her any leniency with her own crime because they felt she wasn't sincere or honest.
So what to do about all of this? Governor Cuomo has an op-ed in the Daily News today going through what he wants the legislature to accomplish before the session ends on a variety of things. And regarding cleaning up Albany, He writes about toughening the laws and sentences, as well as barring those convicted from holding public office or working for government. Public financing of elections is in there. Also, independent enforcement of the Board of Elections. What's the likely outcome of all this? Or is there a centerpiece measure that our listeners should be getting their minds around?
Well, there's two. One is, right now, the State Board of Elections, which is, you know, the governor has called the toothless tiger, is literally a toothless tiger. They have no investigators on their staff right now. Cuomo wants to create a new panel, an independent investigative panel to go after campaign corruption within the Board of Elections. He would appoint, with Senate approval, the head of that panel. The legislature has basically said no to that. The Speaker, Sheldon Silver, in the Assembly has said in the past that he doesn't think that would be independent with the governor controlling it. He thinks if you're going to have a panel, everyone should have a say on who gets on it. So there's an impasse there. The governor also wants to strip what's known as the Wilson-Pakula provision, which allows party committee chairs to let someone onto the line who isn't a member of that party. Governor, you know, Malcolm Smith was indicted for trying to bribe his way onto the New York City Republican ballot as a Democrat.
For mayor.
The governor says this would take care of that. Both houses of the legislature don't see that happening.
But there is pushback against undoing Wilson-Pakula, as obscure as this is to most people, that it would somehow disenfranchise smaller political parties from being able to control their own fate. And so if somebody's a fan of, I don't know, the Libertarian Party or the Working Families Party or some of these parties that really believe in things and exist to, you know, influence the political sector to whatever ends by running their own candidates or endorsing their own candidates, if it becomes too easy for candidates who are not supported by the party leadership to get on their ballot, then it defeats the point of their existence.
Exactly. They feel it'll be the end of it, and they feel that the major parties can then more easily manipulate and put candidates that they want on those lines, either to play spoiler or to just help their own cause. So certainly the minor parties, and they're very closely aligned with the Senate. You know, the Conservative Party is close to the Senate Republicans. The Working Families Party is close to the Assembly Democrats, and they're both are very much against it. You don't often get the Conservatives and the union-backed Working Families Party on the same page. But in this case, they are, and I think the legislature is going to say no to the governor on it.
This John Sampson indictment, is this also from the feds, the U.S. attorney, Preet Bharara, as opposed to a local prosecutor?
Well, it's the feds, but it's not Preet Bharara. It's the Brooklyn district, which is Loretta Lynch.
Uh-huh.
But it is the feds again. So once again, you know, why isn't the state picking it up? Where are the DAs? You know, there's been a lack of a cop on a beat for such a long time that's empowered this. You really, and this is not even a, you know, this is not a joke. You have a better chance of being let out in handcuffs out of the Capitol than you do being voted out of office. More people have been arrested than have been voted out.
That's crazy. And I understand that it's part of the governor's package for combating Albany corruption to make it easier for local prosecutors to make cases. But I know they were talking in Morning Edition about how politically difficult it can be for a local DA, let's say, to bring a case against a powerful politician from his own county.
Yeah, and politically it's tough, but also resource-wise. You know, a lot of these DAs say they just don't have the resources. You know, they've got to deal with on the street crime, that they don't have the resources to do these types of investigations into legislative corruption.
And what about the public financing of state elections, or at least partial public financing that's in the Cuomo bill? We were talking just before you came on about the John Liu fundraiser conviction from the other day. And of course, that's a case where, because there is very generous public financing of small donations in New York City elections, they don't have that at the state level, there was this extra temptation for people to falsely bundle non-existent small donations to make it look like one big donor was really making, you know, collecting a lot of small donations from people. for various reasons. And here is Senate Republican leader, State Senate Republican leader, Dean Skelos of Long Island, explaining why he is opposed to state public financing.
I'd rather take the $200 million that we believe it would cost, put it to education, eliminate the cuts that the governor imposed on those with developmental disabilities. I think that money could be better spent.
I thought he was going to say we'd be better returning it to the taxpayers. Isn't that what Republicans say? But he wants to spend it on education. But why would the politics be the way they are, that Cuomo wants some state financing of elections for state offices and the Republican leader would not?
Well, the Republican leader says no, and that's not, it's not going to happen. There's going to be a big push for it by the governor, but they just don't want it. They feel it's a waste of taxpayer money, and the governor has made this a top priority for the year. He's up against the liberal part of the wing who wants this as well. He's trying to, you know, curry favor with them, and it's an issue he's been pushing since the state of the state, really. And it could be a big fight. The Senate Republicans are ready to take on this governor after 2 years of really rolling over for him. And they say that it is now time to stop, that after passing the gun bill or allowing the gun bill to pass earlier this year, they're done doing favors for him.
Yeah. Why would it benefit Democrats to have public financing as opposed to Republicans?
Because a lot of Democrats want this. They feel it'll take some of the money, you know, the big money out of the campaigns. They feel that it'll allow for more candidates to run. They feel that it would allow, quote-unquote, fairer elections. That's what they're saying. The Republicans say it's not true, that you've seen scandals with the system. You've seen John Liu. You've seen Malcolm Smith trying to work this game, the system. You see Anthony Weiner, who's considering a run for mayor, because he's got to use his money now to be able to, you know, participate in the program. And so they say it's a waste of taxpayer money, and it's not necessarily more effective.
In fact, I see that tomorrow, though we're out of time, the state Senate will be holding hearings on what they say are abuses of the New York City public financing programs. Do you think that'll focus on this Liu case?
I think that's going to be brought up. I think, like I said, Malcolm Smith and possibly Weiner will be brought up as well.
Ken Lovett, Albany Bureau Chief for the Daily News. Thanks a lot.
Anytime.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.